When I first met Cain, I knew that he and I would become friends immediately. I never knew that we would become this close and that I would be introducing him to speak in front of a crowd so large. For those of you who've had the privilege of meeting Cain, you know that he has a very humble personality and that he always seeks to put others above himself. Cain has always been a huge role model in my life, and I am so deeply humbled to be introducing him today to you to speak for his retiring address.
Hello, my name is Caleb Thurman. I'm Cain's older brother. Cain and I have been right beside each other's side since day one. Whether it was building Legos in the living room as kids or attending FFA events through our teenage years, he has been my best friend ever since I can remember. Cain, I'm very proud to be introducing you today and for all the accomplishments you have achieved over this past year. Keep striving towards your dreams. I know I'll be there every step of the way to congratulate you at the end. Now, it's my honor to introduce to you your Southern Region Vice President,
Cain
Mr.
Thurman.
Cain Thurman.
Don't pay no mind to the demons, they fill you with fear. The trouble it might drag you down. You get lost, you can always be found. Just know you're not alone. I'm gonna make this place your home.
Hey, Mom.
Hey, Bud. How was work today?
It was great, but good.
It's the cold season. A pharmacy's supposed to be busy this time of year.
I guess you're right. Sure does feel good to be home.
I put the key in the ignition. Turn the thing, and it went. It's not running yet. It's just thinking about it.
I'm going home to the place where I belong. Where love has always been enough for me.
I love everything.
At almost 76 years old, widower Glynis Pops Rayburn has to start all over again. You see, a fire destroyed his home.
Dinner's ready.
Ma'am?
Dinner's ready. Come eat. You'd better hurry if you're going to work with your show heifers tonight.
Home. To the Cosby family, it's a downtown apartment in Brooklyn, New York. According to Chris Daughtry, it's a place where love and feeling good don't ever cost a thing. Oftentimes, our local news hits too close to home. And Ty Pennington and his crew have built hundreds of families a new home. I have to wonder, though, when thousands of volunteers pull together to build these families a new house, what does it take to make a house a home? I don't think they move in on the first day and call it home. It takes time, because with time comes memories. It takes tears, both happy and sad ones. It takes love. It takes a cup stain on a wooden coffee table. It takes kids playing in the backyard. It's created by mud tracked in the back door. It takes sliding on the hardwood floor and busting your tail. It takes laughs. It's created by conversations around the fireplace. It takes the residents of a house being comfortable to be themselves. This is how a home is created. When at home, we do things we wouldn't normally do. I love to walk around in my boxers. I don't do that in public. We even learn things at home we can't learn on the job or in class, like how to ride a bike or proper table manners. We even say things at home we wouldn't normally tell other people. If we leave the room to go to the bathroom, we let everyone know before we go. Why do we do these things at home? Because we feel comfortable at home. Regardless of how sitcom perfect our life is or isn't, we all have the opportunity to feel at home. We can feel at home because home isn't just a physical place. It's a feeling. A feeling of comfort safety, trust, and love. What's home to you? Maybe you found it in an ag class or at an FFA meeting. Maybe you found it baling hay on a hot summer day. Maybe you found it talking to a family member or in the loving arms of a friend. Maybe you found home while in church. We don't have enough home in our lives. But what if we could grasp what makes us feel at home and make it the foundation for how we live each day of our lives? On my first day of kindergarten, I might have been the most prepared 5-year-old to walk through the door of Miss Williamson's classroom. I guess you could say I was ready. I have a brand new kick zone, and that Velcro strap added a really nice touch. I have a brand new Batman lunchbox with a bologna sandwich inside, and my very first book bag to hold my bottles of glue, crayons, and box of tissues. Of course, because it was on Miss Williamson's list of things she needed. And did I mention that my mom taught kindergarten across the hallway from Miss Williamson? That meant she and I, we went way back. I thought I knew Miss Williamson pretty well and the way her classroom operates, but on that first day, I learned something that I had never learned before about her classroom. It was the coolest concept I had ever seen. Every day, someone would bring snacks for the rest of the class. That person also got to share a cool story. Well, I skated through the next 8 months telling all kinds of amateur stories on the days I brought snacks. About the time April rolled around, I realized I had one last shot to tell an epic story before school let out for the summer. That morning, I walked proudly down the hallway with my classmates, juice boxes, and packages of fruit roll-ups. The hour hand, which I had just learned how to use, couldn't tick fast enough. Finally, 2 o'clock hit. I remember what my parents taught me about hosting. I passed out my tasty treats and walked to the front of the classroom. 2 days before, on Easter Sunday, a new baby calf was born on the farm. And I saw the whole process, if you know what I mean. At the front of the class, in my 5-year-old southern drawl, on Easter Sunday, I just got done hunting Easter eggs in Aunt Damaris' yard, and I was sitting in her living room eating a Tootsie Roll and fighting with my brother about who found the most eggs. That was me. When all of a sudden I looked out the window and I saw this cow who was mooing real loud, real fast. I didn't know if she was all right, so I went and got my papa because it was his cow. He took me outside, and we saw a baby calf come out of her. Cain, was it a boy calf? Miss Williamson, I don't know, Miss Williamson, but it sure was slick. And not like a city slicker, like its whole body. Thank you, Cain, for that great story. Let's all thank Cain for sharing his story and bringing snacks today. Although I didn't get to share the rest of the story in front of the class that day, you better believe I shared it in private. In fact, I couldn't even sleep during nap time because some of my classmates did not know where baby calves come from. By the end of the day, I can promise you everyone knew every step in vivid, vivid detail. That day in kindergarten, I felt at home. Maybe a little too at home. But it was a story I wanted to tell. I felt comfortable and safe in Miss Williamson's class and wasn't afraid of sharing pieces of Cain with my classmates. Home was a feeling I created by simply being me. Feel at home. We can recreate that feeling of comfort anywhere. We can feel at home in every conversation, every situation, every contemplation, every day. But somewhere between kindergarten and now, we seem to have lost the ability. We started to hide pieces of ourselves, our virtues, our morals, our sense of humor, our faith. All these things make up our foundation, our home. What in the world has happened that keeps us from carrying these things, using these things, exhibiting these things wherever we go? Is it fear that others might not think we're cool? Have we become too prideful to admit something about ourselves that we can't change? Have we put up a guard, revealing just enough of ourselves to keep from judgment? Have we reached a point where our words and actions don't align? If we answered yes to any of these questions, it doesn't mean we have to go on living that way. Nothing is worth losing that feeling of being at home in our own skin. After all, what good will it be for a man to gain the whole world, yet lose his soul? Release your inner kindergartner. We all know where we stand, and just as a young child, we should joyfully express it. Feel at home. When we feel at home, others around us will too. 3 months ago, I met a 12-year-old named Noah. And although Noah didn't have a normal home, I feel like Noah really taught me what home is. Noah lived in an orphanage for children who had been brought up in abusive situations. I met him when my teammates and I traveled to his orphanage for a day. We were told not to hug or touch the kids at all, given their background. And needless to say, I wasn't prepared for Noah or RJ. This wasn't a typical 12-year-old's home. There were 37 kids, each having their own bedroom. They ate 3 meals a day in the basement cafeteria and went to school on the premises. There was a gym for recreation where we spent most of our day. Only 11 kids were able to come in all, which meant we had plenty of one-on-one time. As everyone introduced themselves, I could see there was a bit of uncertainty in their eyes. After all, they had never met us before, and this was their home. I stuck by Noah most of the day. Noah was 12 years old, and he made sure I knew everything about him in a matter of 5 hours, like most 12-year-olds do. From his flat bill hat to his tennis shoes, Noah was ready for some games, and of course, he wanted to win them too. There's one more thing you need to know about Noah. Noah didn't go anywhere without RJ. RJ was 12 too, but he didn't look a day over 9. He walked with a limp and had limited use of one arm due to cerebral palsy. But he didn't let it keep him from fitting right in with the other kids. He spiked his short, cool kid hair and talked with a southern drawl worse than mine. That day at the orphanage, we tossed beach balls, played human tic-tac-toe, held relay races, and tossed water balloons. I began to notice all the kids were having fun. They had smiles on their faces, and we did too. Their smiles got bigger as the day progressed, and so did their stories. As soon as we told them we were part of a group called the Future Farmers of America, they let loose on the agricultural stories. Noah wants to be a farmer, and at just 12 years old, began to talk cattle with me, breeds and all. I was quite impressed. RJ wants to be a farmer too, and loves to ride horses, and even bulls on occasion. The joy on their faces as they spoke of their passions was absolutely incredible. Still, I continued to ask myself why they were so happy. After all, they lived in a temporary home and could be there for the next year of their life. A little later on at dinner, as we munched on our hot dogs and Oreos and they picked on the big kid for drinking purple Gatorade, I finally got my answer. Noah turned to me, piped up, and said, "You know, me and RJ, we're kind of like brothers. And I hope someday we can be." My heart sank. My head lifted. I looked at RJ, who stared in agreement. We've been together all day. I'd seen him laugh at inside jokes, build each other up, talk about their future, and tell stories about how it will be one day. They loved one another, just like brothers. Why didn't I see it before now? It's a home because they make each other feel comfortable, like they have a place in this world, like they belong, just like brothers and sisters. Trying to fight back the lump in my throat, I turned to Noah and said, "You will always be brothers." Make others feel at home. People may not remember what you said or what you did, but they will always, always, always remember how you made them feel. We've all been in a situation where we felt like we couldn't be ourselves. We were out of our comfort zone and had a really hard time fitting in. Someone changed that. Someone came along and took a genuine interest in us, and we were comfortable being ourselves again. We have two things to do. First of all, thank them for making us feel at home. Secondly, do the same for someone else. Not just once, but every day. Do others feel at home when they're around you? Or do you pressure them to be someone you want them to be? Ease the pressure and appreciate who they really are by taking a genuine interest. Make them feel at home. Do others talk or act differently around you? Don't let them. Just listen to who they really are. You might just find something in common. Make them feel at home. Do others feel inadequate, thinking they will never measure up to your expectations? Expect nothing and find the best in people. Make them feel at home. Do others feel judged because of the clothes they wear or because you have a one-up on them? Drop the judgment and show them some love. Make them feel at home. Just like Noah and RJ, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. I once heard a story from a powerful man, a carpenter, in fact. He loved to tell stories, and when he spoke, people listened. He told a story about two contractors. One of the men built his house on sand. The other contractor built his house upon a rock. The rain came, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the houses. But in the end, only one house remained. The house built upon a rock. The carpenter taught me why the wise man's house didn't fall. The rock foundation was not shaken by worldly elements. Every day, we're building a home. Not with wood, nail, cement, or bricks, but with choices. These choices build us a place to call our own. Our home. Rain will come. Yes, people are going to tell us we aren't good enough. Streams will rise. The pressures of life, they're going to try to consume us. Winds will blow. Guess what? The unexpected happens and our plans don't work out. What about the home you're building? Will your home crash or will it stand tall? We can choose to build our homes on something permanent, an unshakable foundation, a rock. Grasp what makes you feel at home and make it the foundation for how you live each day of your lives. Trust your virtues, morals, and the things that define your true self. We can feel at home every day. It's not a physical place. It's a feeling of comfort, safety, trust, and love. We can create it ourselves and give others strength to build on the rock. Every day, each moment, we're building it. Home.
We all go home to a place and a time in our hearts and our minds that we just can't outgrow. There's a time that'll find you, a love that'll find you no matter where you go. Someday, somewhere, we all go home.
Kane Thurman. This year you've worked hard to make sure all our little details are perfect. You might be slightly obsessive and use every second of time that is given, but you care in such a way that is so easy to see. This year, your southern charm has melted the hearts of thousands, and it's melted ours too. Thank you for being our friend and our teammate. Kane, thank you this year for being conscientious, traditional, solid, humble, and respectful. Grow always. Ryan, Alicia, Seth, Jason, and Kenny. Ladies and gentlemen, your Southern Region Vice President from the state of Georgia, Master Kane Thurman.
We all go home to a place and a time in our hearts and our minds that we just can't outgrow. There's a time that'll find you, a love that'll find you no matter where you go. Someday, somewhere, we all go home.